Chapter 6, Section 1, Abraham. After the confusion of languages at Babel, many generations passed before the Bible picks up and records God's intervention in history. All through these passing years, God did not forget His promise to send a deliverer. Though the majority of people live with little thought of God, each generation records those who believed His words. One such couple was Abram and Sarai.
Now Sarai was barren. She had no children. Genesis 11:30.
Abram's hometown was the city of Ur, just south of Babel. However, following God's instructions, he had left home and moved to Haran with his nephew, Lot. It was here that God spoke to him a second time.
The Lord had said to Abram, "Leave your country and go to the land I will show you." So Abram left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Genesis 12, 1 and 4.
For Abram, this was a big step. He couldn't consult an encyclopedia and research the country or discuss plans with a travel agent. He didn't even know where he was going. God had not told him. As he traveled, he would have to put faith in God to lead him one day at a time. His unknown destination was Canaan, which is modern-day Israel. God also gave Abram four specific promises. 1.
I will make you into a great nation.
2.
I will make your name great.
3.
I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse.
We need to note here that when God blesses, He bestows favor and well-being. When God curses, He brings misfortune. And then there is a fourth promise, that
all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Genesis 12, 2 and 3.
God's first promise was good news to Abram. In order to become a great nation, he would have to father children. But since he had no offspring, he was perplexed as to how it would all be. Sarai was past childbearing age, but God had promised, so it must happen. The last promise hinged on the first and was a direct reference to the deliverer. God was telling Abram that one of his descendants would be the anointed one and that he would be a blessing to everyone.
So they came to the land of Canaan, and there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Genesis 12, 5b and 7b, New King James Version.
In accordance with God's instructions to man, Abram offered a blood sacrifice on an altar as an atonement covering for his sin. Because he believed God, he was obedient, just as Abel, Noah, and all the other righteous people had been through the ages. Abram and Lot were wealthy individuals with too much livestock to pasture in one region. They agreed to split up, with Lot choosing the well-watered plain of Jordan and Abram taking the mountains. Abram lived a semi-nomadic life, so much so that the locals called him a Hebrew, which carried the connotation of a wanderer, the one from beyond. Because Abram spent a lot of time in one area, the local town took on the name Hebron. From this time on, Abram and his descendants were referred to as Hebrews.
After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your very great reward." But Abram said, "O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless?" God took him outside and said, "Look up at the heavens and count the stars, if indeed you can count them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be." Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. Genesis 15, 1 and 2a and 5 and 6.
This last sentence is loaded with meaning. The concept behind it is used more than once in reference to Abram. The word translated credited carries the thought of settling a monetary account through a payment. The term has common usage today in our financial world. We like seeing money credited to our bank account, as it shows we've been on the receiving end. But what does the Bible mean when it says,
Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness.
Remember that certificate of debt which every human has as a result of sin? Well, Abram had one too. God was saying that because of Abram's faith, his trust in God, righteousness was credited to Abram's account, offsetting his sin debt. Abram's account would be considered paid. God would look on Abram as righteous or right with him. This was not because Abram was a perfect human being, not at all. He was a sinner just like every other man. But God looked at Abram as being right with him because he believed God. We need to understand three things about the word belief as it appears in the Bible. First of all, the words or concepts of faith, belief, trust, and confidence are often used interchangeably. For example, Abram believed the Lord, or he believed what God said. Abram put faith in the Lord, or he had faith in his word. Abram trusted the Lord, or he knew God to be trustworthy. Abram had confidence in the Lord, or his confidence was in God alone. All four words carry the same meaning. Secondly, true faith is built on fact. Abram didn't believe in some sort of old wives' tale. He didn't believe that a stork would deliver his son via Air Express. Abram's belief rested on fact. God said, "You will have a son." And the Creator God is all-powerful and tells the truth. So it will be true that Abram will have a son. Abram believed God in other areas of his life as well. He believed that God meant what he said when he promised that the deliverer would come through Abram's offspring. He believed that this anointed one would deliver him from sin, Satan, and death. We know this to be true because of the third point. True biblical faith or belief does not stop with mental assent to the facts. If it did, it would not be faith. Abram's belief went beyond agreement. He staked his life, his reputation, and his actions on it. Because he believed, he was obedient to God and left his home to travel to a foreign land. Because he believed, he offered sacrifices on the altar, trusting God to provide a covering for his sin. Abram's faith came right from his heart, his innermost being. Faith can be illustrated the following way. Two friends are at a county fair. One asks the other, "Do you believe that the roller coaster will stay on those tracks?" The other replies, "Why, of course I believe." Then the first friend says, "Okay, let's go for a ride." If the second friend is reluctant and begins making excuses not to join the fun, it's doubtful that he really believes. He may believe it in his head and say it with his mouth, but he doubts it in his heart. Roller coasters may deserve misgivings, and there may be other good reasons for not taking a ride, but the point is this. Belief or faith affects our actions. So when we hear the words,
Abram believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness,
we need to be thinking of all that is implied. As we study further, we'll understand more facts, and we will see in greater depth how faith becomes a determining factor as to man's sin debt being paid. For now, it is enough to know that God honors those who put faith in him. Now back to the story. Once again, God had promised Abram that he would have numerous descendants. But Abram didn't even have one child. You can almost sense the desperation. And yet Abram was determined to believe God. As the years passed and Abram and Sarai still didn't have children, they decided to take things into their own hands. In accordance with the culturally accepted method of dealing with childlessness, Sarai took her slave girl, Hagar, and gave her to Abram. He had a child by her, a boy they named Ishmael. Abram had a real live descendant now, one who could fulfill God's promise. There was only one problem. They had done things their way, not God's way.
When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. Genesis 17:1-5.
Abram, now Abraham, had no problem with what God was saying. After all, he had a descendant. Hagar had given him a son, Ishmael.
God also said to Abraham, As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. Genesis 17:15-16.
This wasn't such good news. Why was God mentioning Sarah at all? Did God not know about Hagar? Abraham had a son, Ishmael. Could not the promised deliverer come through him? Why did it have to be through Sarah? She was so old. It was impossible.
Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? And Abraham said to God, If only Ishmael might live under your blessing. Genesis 17:17-18.
Abraham pointed out to God that Ishmael could be a potential candidate.
Then God said, Yes, but your wife Sarah will bear you a son, and you will call him Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard you, and I will make him into a great nation. But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you by this time next year. Genesis 17:19-21.
So there it was. God would only honor that which was done His way. Sarah was to have the promised child in 1 year's time, and God had given the child a name, Isaac. God had not forgotten Ishmael either, for his descendants would also become great. The Arab nations are descendants of Ishmael. So Abraham and Sarah waited. In the meantime, God came again, this time in the form of a man, and with him two angels who also appeared as humans. They stopped to see Abraham en route to Sodom, the city where Lot lived, whom they planned to visit later.
Where is your wife Sarah? They asked him. There in the tent, he said. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now, Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already old and well advanced in years, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, After I'm worn out and my master is old, will I now have this pleasure? Then the Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh and say, Will I really have a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return to you at the appointed time next year, and Sarah will have a son. Sarah was afraid, so she lied and said, I did not laugh. But he said, Yes, you did laugh. Genesis 18:9-15.
It must have been a revelation to Sarah to know that her thoughts were being read by an all-knowing God. She tried to deny that she had laughed. Denial doesn't work with God. He said, Yes, you did laugh. God holds a person responsible for his own actions. Abraham and Sarah believed that God would keep his promise, but as we can see, their faith went through ups and downs. At times, there were struggles with doubt, but the wonderful thing about God is this. He says he will honor faith the size of a mustard seed. Mustard seeds are very small. It's not the amount of faith you have, but in whom you are placing your faith. Abraham and Sarah were trusting God. Well, the two angels had an appointment in Sodom that needed to be kept. They planned to visit Lot, Abraham's nephew.